Tatiana, when you make your CD, let me know. You just sang that song with the same quality of voice as the person who originally recorded that song. Yeah, I'm not kidding. It could be a clone. So, no, seriously, you should, trust me, I've heard a lot of special musics over the years. That was good. And I recommend that this whole church help her make a CD. So, because it might help pay for whatever parking you want to buy eventually or whatever. So you never know. But that was good. I was blessed by that. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Glad to see you here today. Janice, thank you for that touching, undeserved introduction. It's so nice to be with friends from those days, and I'm very proud of those two girls that I graduated with that you have in this congregation. And I have no doubt in my mind that Janice is giving you very accurate reports on at your board meetings each month from the treasurer's report. She was always very accurate in school. I want to talk with you this morning about something that I do all the time, every day. In fact, do you wake up in the night? I woke up in the night last night. These days of my life, sleep is an adventure. I never know what's going to happen. And so I woke up in the night last night, and all of a sudden, a whole bunch of things just swirling around in my head, and I started to pray for a whole bunch of people and different things, and finally I drifted back to sleep again. But praying for people, that is, when you ask for prayer requests, that is what usually comes up. People say, my father, my brother. In fact, I just got a text while I was on the platform from one of my elders. He had to rush to Colorado yesterday to be with his father, who's suddenly in the last stages of cancer that they didn't even know he had until a couple days ago. And he's probably going to pass away before the weekend is over. Imagine how shocking that is to find out that all of a sudden you've got this stage 4 cancer and he's immediately about to pass away. So he's there, and so I've been praying for him while we've been having our church service, but praying for people. And notice the verse that was read, 1 Timothy chapter 2. You can see it. Can you see it up there yet? Are we on? You can't see it. Okay, well, get your Bibles out because we're going to use those. So turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2 again, and verses 1 to 4. Now, just for those of you who are timekeepers, I'm going to do my very best to be done by 12:15, okay? Just so that you can keep looking at your watch and know how much longer we have to go, okay? So I'm going to do my best to be done by 12:15. And it's okay, don't worry about it, because I feel like this whole time that we're together is fluid as far as I'm concerned. And if I feel like I need to share more about intercessory prayer than I have time to do right now, I'll share it later this evening with those of you who are brave enough to come back. So 5:30 tonight. But this verse is a very important verse, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. And it says, I urge you, first of all. Now, you all know that there are two types of numbers. There's ordinal numbers and there's cardinal numbers. And an ordinal number is most important, second most important. And that's the number that Paul is using here. In the Greek form, he's saying the most important thing you can do is to pray. Amen. The most important thing you can do. Have you ever heard people say something like, well, I guess all we can do now is pray? You know, you've probably heard that or seen that, you know, on a movie or something. But Paul says, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit says, the most important thing that you can do is to pray. When I get ready to do a series of evangelistic meetings, I'm all connected here. Let me try unplugging it and plugging it back in. Sometimes that makes a difference. Oh, something's up there. So the most important thing you can do is to pray. And when I get ready to do a series of evangelistic meetings, I want to know that there are some dedicated people who are going to be sure to meet on a regular basis and pray, because I know the battles that are going to take place are spiritual battles. And so it's so important that we pray. There you go. Now you can see it up there. So Here's a group of these people you see here. This is a group of prayer leaders from North America. We were in North Carolina, gathered for a week of time together as prayer leaders from North America. I was representing at the time Upper Columbia Conference, where I was prayer leader there, and now I am the prayer leader for the North Pacific Union. But all across North America, people were coming together to get together and pray for our work in North America. And you can see the globe there. And we were gathered in that room, all of us there, and there's more people in that room than you can see in that picture. And we were gathered around that praying for the people. That's the first thing I want you to come away with this morning is prayer is and praying for other people. That's the most important thing you can do. Okay, now I want you to remember what we started with last night, Matthew 7:7. If you weren't here last night, please turn to Matthew 7:7. And there it says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened. There's two parts to prayer, okay? Two parts to prayer. Our part and God's part, all right? So now let's put that all together. Now, let's say that Shernette, and I'm going to pick on her because she's on the front pew, good reason to not sit on the front pew, right? But here she is, so, and I know her name. So let's say that Shernette is a neighbor of mine. And I currently have, as I step out my front door where I live in Federal Way, Washington, on my right, I have a Vietnamese family. And on my left, I have a Mexican family. And in that area of Seattle, there's this gigantic melting pot of people from all over the place. And you have, in any neighborhood, you've got people from India and Asia and Australia and Europe, and we're just all put together in one place. So Vietnamese family here, over here, Mexican family, wonderful people. Let's say Shernette is my neighbor from Jamaica, living near me. And I'm praying for the Vietnamese family, because that's the most important thing I can do for them. I am praying for them. And I am praying for the Mexican family. But there's two parts to prayer, right? My part and God's part. So I want God to do his part and move on them so that they will be drawn to Christ. Now, you might want to write this down so that you can take it home, because it's not in your notes and it's not on the screen, okay? Because it's really easy, it's really simple. Many, many years ago, I gave myself a personal mission statement. Okay, we have a Christian mission statement where Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. That's our Christian mission statement. Amen. Do you guys say amen here? Amen? Amen. Okay. All right. Okay, just making sure. All right, so that's our Christian mission statement. But I have a personal mission statement that I have adopted for myself. And I'd like to share it with you in case you want to share it as well. Here it is. You can write it down. My purpose in life is to attract people to Jesus. My purpose in life is to attract people to Jesus. Amen. All right, now, so these three things I've given you, here's three things I've given you this morning. The most important thing I can do for the people around me is to what? Pray. And there's two parts to prayer. There's my part, and there's God's part. And my personal mission statement is, my purpose in life is to attract people to Jesus. Amen. Right? So put that all together as we're talking here. Now, I'm going to share a bunch of stories with you this morning for this reason, because it hopefully, with the help of the Holy Spirit, will inspire you, but also I hope that it will teach you how to put those things together, all right? So let's say Shernette is my neighbor, and I'm praying for her. Now, I've said, Lord, please bless Shernette and her family. Please send your spirit to them and drive Satan and the evil spirits away. By the blood of Jesus that he gave to us on the cross, drive those evil spirits and their deceptions away, and make it possible for her to see the truth of your character and of your word. so that she will be drawn to Jesus. I pray that for her all the time, all right, as my neighbor. Now, that's asking, but I also need to seek and I need to knock. So, just like I did with my Vietnamese neighbor this last summer, I grow tomatoes and I grow cucumbers and I grow a whole bunch of stuff. So I got a whole bunch of my English cucumbers together that I grow because I like English cucumbers. I think that's the only cucumber in the world. And the rest of them are somehow degraded from this perfect cucumber, okay? So I get these cucumbers together and I go to Shernette's home and I knock on the door. And she opens the door because I'm trying to find a way to get acquainted. And so she opens the door and I said, "Shernette, I grow more cucumbers than we can eat. Do you like cucumbers? I would like to give you some." And my neighbor, when I did that, my Vietnamese neighbor, he goes, "Yeah." You know? So Shernette says, "Yes." And so then we began to talk as I'm standing at the door. I gave him the cucumbers. Always, you might want to write this down too. Generosity opens hearts. Okay? Generosity opens hearts. If you're wanting to open the hearts of people in your neighborhood and in this community, generosity opens hearts. All right? Lecturing closes hearts. Try to remember that. Lecturing closes hearts. Generosity opens hearts. So as you seek to be generous with your neighbors here around, so we start talking, and he asks me a little bit about myself. And they now know that I'm a pastor, and that explains why I dress the way I do on Saturdays, and because they notice and all that stuff. And so they're getting that kind of explanation. So I'm doing my part, and I'm asking God. So the other day, the power went out. Think about the significance of this. The other day, the power went out, and I heard a knock at the door, and I went to the door, and here's the neighbor, the Vietnamese neighbor. Here's their 10-year-old boy that they sent all by himself to come to my door to ask me if we had power or if they were the only ones with their power out. Now, I take that as a sign that my wife and I are beginning to earn their trust, because you wouldn't send your little boy to the home of a neighbor you wouldn't trust, right? You know? So they did that. So I said, "Thank you, Lord," you know? So, but you, the most important thing you can do for people is to pray. And prayer has two parts. So if you want your prayers for your neighbors to be answered, you need to do your part. You need the people who add activity to their prayers have more answers to prayer than the people who don't. And if you're saying, I don't seem to have very many answers to my prayer, my first question, politely and respectfully to you, would be, what activity are you adding to your prayers to bring about the answers that you seek? So if you're praying for your community to come to Christ and be saved, what are you doing to help introduce them to Christ? And so then, there brings in my personal mission statement. My purpose in life is to what? Attract people to Jesus. So therefore, what I eat, how I dress, where I go, what I do, all of those things become important because it either attracts people to Jesus or it detracts from Jesus, all right? And so that's why my lifestyle matters, because it either attracts people to Jesus or it doesn't. Now, this is my church, Kirkland, and you don't see the whole campus there. It's larger than just that, but that's the church. And that's a part of this community, which is called Kirkland and Bellevue. You can see Bellevue in the distance, which is a part, and this all runs together. There's no separation. And so then this is a part of Seattle. And there's about 4 million plus people who live in that general area. And I'm praying and praying and praying that God will help us find a way to reach those people, to get their attention so that they stop and ask a few questions. We're trying to find a way. Right now, what I'm praying about and what I'm asking my elders to pray about, Seattle and the whole Seattle area has a gigantic poverty problem. There's a great disparity between the very rich and the very poor. There's hardly any middle class in that entire area. And so we are reaching out specifically, doing more to the homeless in our area. And many of the homeless who live, who are in that area, are just like you and me, exactly like you and me. They have had circumstances that suddenly pushed them over the brink, and they are without a place to live. And this one young lady last week, her name's Carmen. Maybe you could send a prayer up to the Lord for Carmen right this minute. She came, she was walking by, and she saw that there were people, and she saw it was a church. So she came in, and we got acquainted, and she was terrified. She had just recently become homeless. She had had a job, and she lost her job, and then she couldn't pay her rent, and then she couldn't pay her car payment. They repossessed her car. They kicked her out. No family, no place to go, scared to death. And my father's heart, my daddy's heart, wanted to adopt her on the spot, you know, but I couldn't. So I said to her, okay, I said, we're going to give you a motel. We have people generously give. We're going to give you a motel. So I'm praying for Carmen, right? I start praying for Carmen right that minute, see? But prayer has how many parts? How many parts does prayer have? Two parts. There's my part and God's part. And the most important thing I can do for Carmen is to pray for her. But prayer has two parts, and I need to do my part because my purpose in life is to attract people to Jesus. All right? So I said to Carmen, all right, Carmen, I'm going to help you have a place to stay. She started crying on the spot. She just started crying. And she grabbed my tissue box that I keep full on my desk, and she just started, you know, started tearing tissues out of that tissue box. And, you know, she just said, her head like this, and she says, thank you so much, thank you so much. Thank. She said that like 10 times. And so we gave her a place, and I said, but Carmen, what are you going to do next week? She said, I don't know. I said, do you have food? She says, I have a little money in my pocket, in my purse. And she said, that's all I have. I said, what about your things? She said, I have lost all my things. She said, I have no place to put things. She said, I don't have any things. And so I said, so you don't have a change of clothes? She said, I don't. She said, this is it. She was wearing layers, you know. And so we keep gift cards in our office. We don't keep money, but we keep gift cards to various places to help people with whatever their need is. So I went and got a $100 gift card to Fred Meyer, because at Fred Meyer you can get whatever. So I said, here, Carmen, I said, this is a $100 gift card. And then she started crying all over again. And I said, go get yourself some food and get yourself some clothes and maybe a bag or something to carry them in. And I said, but what are you going to do after that? She said, I don't know. I said, Carmen, we want to help you, but you need some long-term help. You don't just need a short-term fix. You need some long-term help. And she said, yeah, I really do. And I'm praying and praying. And I don't know what I'm doing. Because I don't know how to help her get from where she is to where she needs to be. If I was a millionaire, I would have a great idea. I would know exactly what to do. I would go buy an apartment complex, and I would hire people to screen and to protect and to watch over. And so I went to my church board and I said, we need to build a dormitory. And I said dormitory because Adventists know how to build dormitories. I didn't say apartment. Basically, a dormitory is an apartment. But I didn't say apartment because as soon as you say build an apartment, people go, we don't know how to do an apartment. But if you say, we need to build a dormitory, well, they all know, Adventists all know what dormitories are because most of them went to one, okay? And so it's like, yeah, we can do that. We can, you know, that's, so we're talking about in that area, we're talking about at this point, building a dormitory. This is a huge project. I have no idea how this is going to happen, but we're just taking one step at a time, see where it goes. Just taking one step at a time. But we need to do something in our community to reach those, to help those people. Those are the people that we can help. Those are the ones that are looking for help. And so we should help the ones that are looking for help. A lot of time people waste so much time trying to get people to think they need help. Well, why not just help the people who already know they need help and work from there and see what happens? And so that's what we're trying to do. And so Carmen was in church this last week, and she had some clothes, and she was so happy, and we are continuing to take one step at it. We got her connected with some community housing and different things like that. So we're trying to work with the people in our community and help her, and we'll see where it goes. There is no way that I'm going to have time. I can already tell. We're going to have part two at 5:30, okay? I already know there's no way I'm going to get through all this in 15 minutes, so relax. You don't have to worry. I'm not going to keep you here till 1 o'clock. But I could, but I'm not going to. So real quick, praying for Pete. Jesus is praying for you, Hebrews 7:25. See, why is he praying for you? Because he wants you and me to be in heaven. And so he is constantly praying to the Father, pleading his blood that he shed on Calvary when he gave his life for us. He paid the price so that we could be saved. Amen.
Amen.
So he paid the price. Now, salvation is free. It's not based on your works or praise God. It's not based on your perfection. Praise God. It's not based on your giving. Jesus loves you. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, will not perish. You will not perish, but have everlasting life. And so when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we have eternal life. After that, it is a cooperation with God. Salvation is free, but character development is a cooperation with God. Human effort plus divine power. You might want to write this down. Human effort plus divine power equals success. After you accept Jesus as your Savior, see, eternal life is free. It's a free gift. But after that, everything is a cooperative effort with God. Human effort plus divine power. Now, some people want to make salvation a cooperative thing. There are whole denominations that make salvation a cooperative thing between human and divine. But no, Jesus paid the price for our salvation. And if we accept him, we have eternal life. Period.
Amen.
Period. Don't start. See, in Catholicism, they add to that. They go, I'm saved by grace through faith in Jesus plus my meritorious works. Now, you're either a Catholic Adventist or you're a Protestant Adventist. Did you know that? You are. You're either a Catholic Adventist or you're a Protestant Adventist. There's no in between. So Catholic Adventists do the same thing that Catholics do. They go, I'm saved by grace through faith in Jesus, plus my diet, plus how I keep the Sabbath, plus how I wear my hair, plus, you know, plus, 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 plus. You know, they add all the pluses there at the end. That's a Catholic influence, okay? Protestants, we understand that I'm saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, end of story.
Amen.
That's it. And everything else is a love response. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, but not to be saved. I love Jesus because he has saved me.
Amen.
And that's why I went to Milo to meet Janice and to meet Mary and eventually to meet Don and meet Dwight, and because Jesus has saved me. And because of that, I love him. And not just because of that, because of a whole bunch of other things since that time too. All right? But he has given me eternal life. So he's praying for you. 17:20, he's praying for blanket prayer. He's praying for the whole world. You know, he said, I do not just pray for these alone, but for all of those who will believe on me. So, everybody always wants to hear this story, so I always tell it wherever I go. And I apologize to Mary and Don, because they've heard it, and Shernette, because you've already heard it. But when I went to Canyonville, not far from here, when I went to Canyonville to be the pastor there in the 90s, it was 1995 when we went there, and that's when the Adventist denomination in North America decided to utilize a new technology at the time, which was putting satellite dishes on all the churches and stuff. Satellites became affordable, and so everybody, I have to always say this because it always strikes me so funny. So when I joined the church in the early 70s, every other word out of somebody's mouth in those days was, turn off your TV, don't watch TV, let's not have any TVs. That was TV was practically the Antichrist, okay? And so, you know, that was what everybody was talking about in those days. You know, don't, you know, so. Now here we are in 1995, and the denomination is saying everybody needs to have a TV in their church and put a satellite dish on the church and get programming so that we can all turn on a big, huge TV in the church and then have the community come and watch TV. I'm sorry, but I just find that really funny, okay? I just think that's really hilarious. So that's what we did. And there was a lady in the church. We'd just been there a little short time, and she got really excited when she heard about Net 95, and she said, oh, this is the best thing ever. And so she comes to prayer meeting, and she says, pray for my husband, Ron. That was his name. Pray for my husband, Ron. And I was new. Everybody knew who Ron was, but I didn't. And I said, why do you want us to pray for your husband? And she said, well, he's an atheist, but he's a TV addict. He's constantly watching TV, okay? He's a TV addict. And so I am so excited about this, she said. I hope he will watch Net 95. So we all started praying for Ron. And this group, we had a really strong prayer group, and they were coming together on a regular basis. And these people were prayer warriors, and they were praying every day through the week for Ron. And I was praying for Ron. And we were praying that the Holy Spirit would move on Ron's heart and draw him to God, cause him to feel his need of God. Pray very specific prayers, by the way, when you pray for people. And so we were praying that God would draw his heart to God. And then as the weeks went by, we kept praying. And finally, the week before the Friday night, when Net 95 was going to kick off from Tennessee with Mark Finley as the preacher, so she comes to prayer meeting that Wednesday, and she says, okay, tomorrow night, I am going to ask Ron to watch Net 95 with me on Friday night. Please pray for me tomorrow. Oh, listen, we prayed. We prayed and prayed. I can remember praying for Ron and for her several times on Thursday, praying that God would move on Ron's heart, this atheist man, and that he would be willing to watch Net 95. So that, I found out the rest of the story, of course, later on, but here's what happened. She went to Ron that day at some point, and she said, Ron, do I ever complain to you about your TV watching? He said, no. And she said, have I ever asked you to watch some particular program with me? And he said, no, where's this going? And then she says, well, Friday night, she says, my church is sponsoring a nationwide program, and I would really like you to sit down and watch it with me. And he goes, oh, come on. You know, he says, please don't ask me to do that. He said, I don't believe in all this God stuff. And if you want to go to church, that's fine. I don't stand in your way. You go ahead, but don't ask me. I don't want to watch that. And so then she put on all of her womanly charms. You know, women, how do they do that? They get this look on their face, and they get that tone in their voice, and there's that little batting of the eye kind of thing that goes on, and they kind of look at you, and they go, Ron, just for me, just this one time for me, somehow like that. They do that, okay? I don't know how that works, but they do that. And so Ron, you know, he loves her, and he goes, you know, typical male response, okay. So he sits down with her on Friday night, and he goes over to his satellite, and Ron has a satellite dish in his front yard, and he has a big, big TV. Back in those days, if you wanted a big TV, this was a box. It was a big box, and it was deep, and it had, you know, all this, because this flat screen stuff that we have now, that was totally Star Trek stuff back in those days, you know. And so, but there's this big TV, big box. I know, because I was in their living room. I saw this thing. He had home theater before anybody ever even thought of that. He had it all connected with his stereo and stuff. He was really into it. TV addict, okay? He had spent thousands and thousands of dollars to make this big, huge monstrosity that took up the entire wall of his living room, okay? So he was really into it. So he goes over and he takes his satellite dish receiver and he tunes in the satellite and then he tunes in the channel, and there comes, you know, up comes Net 95. And he sits there and he watches the whole thing with his wife, and we're all praying, of course, for Ron and for them, and he's watching it at home. He didn't want to come to the church, so they're watching it there. And when it was all over, of course, his wife turns to him and says, Ron, how did you like it? And He says, well, I have to admit, what he said was, he was honest. He said, I have to admit that it was a much better quality program than I expected from a church. And he said, the music was good. And he said, I may as well have been watching Disney. He said, I don't believe any of this stuff. And so she was disappointed, you know, but he gets up and he walks over to the satellite receiver and he tries to dial in a different satellite and it won't budge. It won't move. And then he says, well, you know, I don't know what's going on there, but let me try a different channel. So he tries to tune a different channel on that satellite and it won't move off that channel. It is stuck on the Net 95 channel. And he's a TV what? He is going to watch TV because he is a TV addict. And the only thing that Ron could watch all weekend was Net 95. On Monday, though, he gets up and he's on the phone right away. He calls the satellite repairman, the installer repairman. Now, remember, this is 1995, and satellites are sweeping the country. And the satellites are being purchased and installed faster than they're establishing people to service them, you know. And so he calls up this repairman who services the entire Douglas County. At that point, there was only one satellite repairman for the entire county of Douglas County, all right? And so he calls him up and he tells him his problem. He says, I've already been through the troubleshooting manual and it's not working. And he says, what do I do? And he says, well, he said, I'm going to have to come out. He says, I'm going to have to take it through my diagnostics. He said, I don't know. He says, okay, great. When can you come? He says, well, I'll just have to add you to the list. He said, I've got a lot of people ahead of you. And he says, well, how long is it going to be? He said, I can't get there for at least 3 weeks. 3 weeks. And he's a TV, and he's going to watch Net 95. So the only thing he could watch for weeks was Net 95. And I baptized him. Amen. Yeah, I baptized him. And on the day that I baptized him, we were standing at the foot of the baptistry, and he turned to me right then before we went into the water. He said, Pastor, does God set people up? And I said, absolutely. I said, he absolutely will set you up. And so whenever Ron would tell his testimony, he would say, let me tell you how God set me up, okay? And so the most important thing you can do for people is to what?
Pray.
And that, and God gets busy. But then you add your efforts to that. See, what if his wife had just prayed, and that was it? But she said, no, I've got to ask, seek, and knock. See, there's God's part and your part. So she said, she took a leap of faith, and she worked up her courage. She said, Ron, will you watch Net 95 with me on Friday night? See, she's seeking, she's knocking. Ask, seek, and knock. You got to do your part. You can't just pray and then hope something happens. You got to do your part. And God does this cooperative thing. And she did her best to attract Ron to Jesus, to attract Ron to Jesus. And as you do that, God is going to hear and answer your prayers. Real quick, we got a few minutes before 12:15, which I am determined I will stop at 12:15, because I get wound up and I'm like Energizer Bunny, I can just keep going. But pray for healing. Now, we're going to talk more about this. We're going to pick up. I can't cover all this right now. So at 5:30, we'll talk more about praying for healing. But the Bible teaches us we should expect that God is going to heal. We should expect that God is going to. I think you should write this down too, okay? God's plan A is to heal. That's his plan A. That's his preferred thing. That's what he wants to do. God's plan A is to heal. You can count on it. You can take it to the bank. That's what he wants to do. God's plan A is to heal. If, from a divine perspective, because of the eternal destiny of people involved, and that's the only reason why he wouldn't heal, is because of the eternal aspects involved. But if God's plan A won't work because of eternity, then he invokes his plan B, which is to save you. To save you. If he can't heal you for some reason, then it's because of plan B. He wants to make sure you're saved.
Amen.
Okay? And that's as simple as that. God's plan A is to heal you. God's plan B is to save you. Now, of course, he always wants to save you. But we're talking about in this instance, when someone is sick and you're praying for them to be healed, the only reason he's not going to is if there's some eternal consequence that he alone sees that he must honor. Otherwise, he will heal. And see, faith is a part of this whole thing too that we'll talk about at 5:30. But have faith. Believe that God wants to heal. It says, pray for one another that you may be healed. Matthew 10:8, heal the sick. I've seen that. Cleanse the lepers. I've seen similar. I haven't seen the leper cleansed, but I've seen things as bad as leprosy healed. Cast out demons. I've seen that twice. Raise the dead. I haven't seen raise the dead. But I'm going to see that someday. I'm going to see that happen someday. I know I'm going to. I may see it before the resurrection too. Because I pray. Every time I do a funeral, I pray. I don't pray out loud because it would freak people out. But every time I do a funeral, I pray for the person who's dead to be raised right there on the spot, if that's God's will. Wouldn't that be cool? But no, it wouldn't. I think of both of those things at the same time. I mean, just imagine you're at a graveside service and somebody is praying, Lord, please raise this person from the dead. Honor your name. You know, they're praying. And then all of a sudden you hear this, you know, from the casket, right? People would freak out, wouldn't they? Wouldn't they?
Yes.
Yeah. What do you think the funeral home director is going to do? He's the one that put all the chemicals in that body to make them look like they're still alive when they're not, you know? So he did all that, and then he hears this knocking coming from the casket. The funeral home director is going to freak out right there on the spot, you know, but he's going to get a little crank out there and open it up, and then this person sits up and, you know, well, we think that would be so awesome, don't we? But guess what? It would be on CNN and ABC and NBC and you know, Fox, and then it would totally, the internet would be broken for a week, okay? Because it would totally take up all the bandwidth, as everybody in the entire globe would be talking about this, and half the people would say it was a trick, it didn't happen, and it's not possible, and they'd be arguing, and the other half of the people say, no, it did happen, and then the people who were there, every one of you, if you were there, every one of you, you would be on national and global news for days and days and days. You would cease to have a life. They would seek you out, and they would haul you before the cameras. They would be hounding your home because they knew that you were there and they want your story. So that's what would happen. We don't think about the consequences, but God does. God thinks about the consequences. And he's the one we should trust with all of these kinds of things. But in Matthew 26:39, it teaches us that God will heal you if it is his will. Because Jesus wanted to be spared from death. And he said, Lord, if it is your will, let this cup, what? Pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but
your will
be done. And if we ask anything according to his will, he will heal us. But we must stop right now. So I'd like to invite you to stand as we have prayer, and then we will continue with what we're talking about at 5:30 today. Dear Jesus, I want to thank you for the woman last year who was deaf, that you opened her ears. I want to thank you, Lord, for that pastor's wife who was practically blind and you gave her sight. I want to thank you, Lord, for the man who was dying from cancer and you took it all away. And many, many, many other things, Lord, that I have witnessed you do. I want to thank you for this. And I pray that this church, this particular church, that faith in you, belief in you, trust, excitement, exuberance, will be just profoundly present here in this place.
Amen.
And that anyone who comes through the doors of this church, that they will feel the presence of God. That marriages will flourish, that children will love God, that people people who are addicted will be set free, that those who are sick will be made well, so that your name and the glory of your name may be known throughout this entire area.
Amen.
We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.